Well, tonight you've got two for the price of one, because Shirley and I are going to, rather than me preach a sermon, Shirley and I are going to have a chat. Not just any old chat, you know, we are going to be a bit more structured than that, though I suppose we could do. Any English rugby fans in, I'd happily have a chat about that this evening, but, oh, sorry, came out loud, did it? Yeah. We were happy, Martin, I says, weren't we? Okay. No, well, Shirley, I think you will be. Anyway, Shirley and I aren't going to talk about rugby. We're going to talk about prayer. The reason why will be revealed as the conversation goes on, really, because Shirley's got she's going to tell us something quite interesting that there's afoot at Central. So, Shirley, to open the discussion, what is prayer for you, would you say?
When I was thinking about prayer, I was reminded that when I was a little girl of so high and not quite so wide, I sat next to my mum in chapel and she was saying the Lord's Prayer. Are we booming? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And I, just sitting there as a little girl, I realised that these words meant something to my mum. And that was really one of the first kind of, I don't know, tuning in, as it were, to prayer, and things change over the years, of course. Prayer to me has become less about words as the older I've got. I think I was quite verbal to start with, and I'm not so much now, and it's a lot about being quiet. And I find that when I walk, that's a prayer time. It's not a specific prayer walk, it's just that you're outside in all this beautiful countryside and you can't help saying, wow, which Helen White tells me stands for wonder of wonders, which I think is a lovely, lovely explanation. And you will know yourself that if you're out and about, it's either the wow moments or if you're troubled, then it's help. And somebody once said, if the only words we ever say are thank you, then that's a prayer and that's enough.
Yeah.
Which is lovely.
Yeah. So we had this a similar conversation this morning. It won't be exactly the same, I'm sure. But that wow thing for me, that was really, really helpful, because I never thought of it that way. This idea of just saying wow or being moved by scenery, just looking around and consciously or unconsciously saying, you know, thank you, God, or that's amazing, is a prayer. Yeah, I think that's a fantastic thought to take.
You won't know this, and I won't break any confidences, but somebody came up to me after the service and told me that for a long while she went to bed every night. She said, unlike my grandma who knelt at the foot of the bed, she said, I get in and get nice and warm and start to pray. And then she said, I realised that all my prayers were about either a moan or an argument or please do something about. And then she realised what she was doing and changed it to being thankful. And she said that revolutionised.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is a tendency, isn't there, to moan or go to God with a shopping list of things. Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do the other? That's an easy thing to fall into. So, yeah, to turn that on its head is good.
I did find a quote, which is from G.K. Chesterton, who I'm sure you will have heard of. At the back of our brains, there is a forgotten blaze or burst of astonishment at our own existence. The object of the artistic and spiritual life is to dig for this sunrise of wonder. There is so much in there, David, just in that little few words.
Yeah. In the artistic, I mean, I think that's something, you know, in some traditions, the whole thing of icons, you know, in sort of low Methodism in particular, we don't like our icons, though we've got some banners. But the whole point is, in the Orthodox Church, these icons aren't just decoration. They are prayerful, and the people that paint them with prayer in mind.
Yeah.
And the symbolism really says something. If you know how to read them, that can be a way into prayer in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose that's what something he's alluding to in that quote.
Yeah, I think if you prayer is for me is about being self-aware and about being God-aware. Because if you know what's going on inside yourself, then that leads to prayer. And I think prayer should be, well, it's not should be, but I think prayer is our number one go-to place, whatever we're feeling. Mm. Whether it's the highs or the lows, it's talking to God about it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the this obviously the second time we've had this conversation, but the thing that's coming out to me is that you feel, and I agree, the more I get older, that prayer is often less about words than, well, it's sort of being meditative, I think. You know, there's a tendency very often to want to use lots of words, but that quietness can be so important.
And I did a big build-up this morning, then completely forgot my thread. So I'll try again. If you're on Facebook, and if you're friends with me, you will know this, but I went for a walk, I don't know if it was last Sunday or the Sunday before. My favourite go-to place is Roundway on the hills, and you get up there and the view is just fabulous. And I was up there because the bit I missed out was that I'd heard somebody say that walking or surfing or any kind of activity that gets you out in nature is a moving meditation.
You told me this, didn't you?
Roundway Down, because I was up there, and I rang Bob to say I'm halfway round, and the view's fabulous. And as I'm saying that, I'm slowly falling over. And I ended up doing a complete roll, and Bob can hear me on the other end of the phone, and he can hear the dogs barking and people saying, "Are you all right?" And I looked up and there was a dog about. That was a very moving experience.
Yeah, didn't you say, you told me the other week when we were talking about this, it was Rob Bell said that, didn't
he? Yes, he did. He goes out surfing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, "I'm at one with nature, and there's dolphins there and there's people there, but there's no conversation because he's surfing." And he was saying this to some, I don't know who he said it to, and this guy said, "But that's moving meditation." And I thought, I like that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I like that.
Yeah, I might give the surfing a miss personally, but but there's something in that. There's a book, or we were told to read when I was at college, and I didn't get on with it at the time. It wasn't where I was, 15, 16 years ago, by Gerard Hughes, who's a Roman Catholic, and that was the name suddenly escaped me now. God of Surprises. And in there, he talks about getting into it for prayer to be quiet and reflecting. And you were saying this morning, weren't you, this technique that you'd picked up on mindfulness, which I thought was interesting. I mean, the thing that he says is about sitting down and having your legs firmly planted and sort of breathing in and out, and that gets you into prayer. And I sounds flippant, but I remember trying that a couple of times, and I just dozed off. You sit relax, which is great, but I didn't find it very prayerful, really. But the thing you said, Shirley, this morning, wasn't it, about the...
This was mindfulness. Yeah. I am very inquisitive. When I was at Wesley College, we did a leadership thing which told you what type you were. It wasn't Myers-Briggs, it was something similar. And I came out as a resource investigator, to which I replied, "I'm so glad, because I always thought I was just nosy." So when I saw this mindfulness course advertised by the local, I think it was the mental health team, and it said, "Anybody can come." So I went along. Bob will know that I'm always into things. And one of the things, there was quite a few helpful things, but one that I find really helpful to help me relax is that it's just counting your breath. So it's one and then, so it's one in, and then the and is out, and two in, if that makes sense. Just try it and see. But it's a really good way. Anything to do with your breathing helps you relax. And anyone who likes contemplative prayer knows that your breathing is central to helping you just centre into God, really.
Yeah.
Well, the point of us rambling on about prayer is Shirley's going to explain a little bit about something that she was involved with over in Andover, called Orizon. Or Horizon? Horizon?
Horizon.
Horizon. Right, Horizon. Horizon.
It's because every time I said, any talk I give and I say Horizon, and people come up to me after and say, oh, we like Horizon. And I'm thinking, so you think I can't say it properly?
Horizon.
Horizon, which means?
Prayer. It's a very old word for prayer. I Googled it.
Yeah.
And it is still in the dictionaries. I was given for Christmas a new dictionary, Chambers Dictionary. I like good old proper dictionary you can get down. And I looked it up, and it is in there. So good Scrabble word, I guess, because Chambers is a good Scrabble dictionary. But, it's Orison, Horizon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Shirley's going to explain a little bit about that. And we've got a video clip about it as well, I think.
Yeah, so forgive me if you've heard this before, because I do tend to get a bit passionate about it. So for all you good Methodists, this is a wine cooler. when we first started off, we went to IKEA, we being Bob and I, and we bought one of their sort of, I don't know, whatever it is, and we filled it with water, and I went to pick it up, and my thumb went through it. It was so fine, and I thought, that's no good for children. So we found these in Sainsbury's, but that's a bit by the by. So, sorry, I digress. So Horizon is a prayer room, prayer installation, which Bob and I were privileged to take around the schools in and around Andover. And because I was chaplain at the shopping centre, they let me have a shop unit for 6 weeks, which was absolutely fabulous. So I've just brought along something to show you that's involved in it and a couple of stories. So what we do with this, we fill it to about two-thirds full with just water, and there's usually two or three in a row. And Horizon is lit by fairy lights and very soft lighting. And then we give everyone who comes in one of these, which is, it's not sterile.
No, I thought it was sterile this morning. It's not sterile.
It's a vitamin tablet with strict instructions not to eat it. And because we're mean, we break it up into four, so they only have a little bit. So in the shopping centre, if you can imagine, there's four gazebos set up with all different sorts of things in, and this is near the back where it's very quiet. And a little girl came in, and so I talked her through it, and then I said, go off and explore and see what you make of it. And she came back and said, it's lovely, but I don't know what to do with the water. So I said, well, let me ask you a few questions. How were you feeling when you woke up this morning? And she said, well, I felt something was missing. Now, Andover's an army town. So I said, well, do you mind me asking what was missing? She said, no, it was my daddy. He's in Afghanistan. So I said, would it be right then to say that you woke up feeling sad? Yes, she said, that's it exactly. So I said, well, you sit quietly by the water with your tablet and imagine all your feelings of being sad are in this tablet. And when you're ready, drop it in the water. Of course, it effervesces and just goes away. A few minutes later, she came charging out. She said, that was awesome. And then she said, I'm going to fetch my mom because she's got loads of issues. But on the other spectrum, a lady in her 80s, we did a very small setup in a church. And a lady came out and she said, I've done it, I've forgiven him. Because whereas it's feelings for children, it's all about forgiveness for adults. And she told me the story of how when she was about, I don't know, 12, she asked her older brother for some money. And not only did he refuse, but he ridiculed her as well. So from 12 to 80, she'd held a grudge all that time. Then in the quiet, with her feelings in this tablet, she was able to let it go. Which, you know, I mean, you can't make them up, David. They are just, you're on holy ground. We haven't got it at Central, but we also do, I'm sure you all remember the Etch-a-Sketch. Yeah, well, today you have Magna Doodles, which is the same principle. So basically it's about wiping the slate clean. So you write it on with this pen and then draw it across. In the Chantry Centre, the shopping centre, Bob and I used to go round to make sure everything was put back to where it should be when people had left. two young girls had come in. Well, no, before that, somebody had left it on the Etch-a-Sketch, on the Magna Doodle, without drawing it across. So whether they didn't feel forgiven, I'm not sure. But they'd put, "I'm sorry, I had an abortion." Mm. And somebody else had put, "I'm sorry, I shoplifted." So there was all sorts of stories that, you know, very, very poignant. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, Shirley mentioned Orison to me months ago. And
it was a year ago.
Was it a year ago?
A year ago.
Gosh. And said that the resources that the Andover circuit had sort of funded were just sat, was sort of in Hungerford Methodist Church, weren't they? Quite literally gathering dust. And Shirley said, do you think we could bring them over here and do something? I said, well, yeah, let's give it a try. So a few weeks back, Shirley and Bob, needless to say, brought a lot of these resources over, and just to road test it in a way, I had nothing to do with it, this is the royal we, Bob and Shirley, set it up at Central, with a view to anybody coming, just having a look initially, and then we're going to see, you know, what we can do with it. My hope, and I think Shirley's hope, is that maybe if we can get the other churches in the town interested as well, that, who knows, we might be able to nag the council to let us use one of the empty shops in the town, maybe, and set it up in there. So with that in mind, we've next Sunday afternoon, we're going to invite anybody who'd like to come and have a look at, and it's just some of the Orison, some of the resources, at Central at 3 o'clock. So you can have a look and see what you think. I really hope and pray that this is something that folk want to get behind, because I can really sense the benefit for the town.
It's a very healing experience.
Yeah.
Can I just one more story?
Yeah, no, please do. This is good. No.
A bit like Di's screens over there, we've got a screen board sort of into three, and we say to the children and to the adults, but the adults don't like it. We say to the children, there's someone very special waiting to see you. So they go behind the screen, and there's a full-length mirror. Now, the children think it's wonderful, but the adults get terribly, terribly embarrassed and come out. One little lad, I think he was about 8, went in and came out, and he said, "Well, that's changed my life." So I said, "What do you mean by that?" And he said, "Now I know that I'm special, I don't have to believe what everybody else says about me." Mm. It's just incredible. It's just such a privilege. I'll shut up now.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you.